And a good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. I said that already. He is Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos after doing a great job on Next Man Up. What's up, boys?
So I will tell you, congrats to everybody out there because you survived. The worst day of the year was yesterday. The worst day of the year. Everybody was sluggish. Everybody was off. Everybody was
because of the time change. Yeah,
everybody was. So here in Middle Tennessee, but now it's beautiful. You made it through there. It's easy now. It's all easy. We all made it through the time change, and so we're good to go. So it's going to be a beautiful day today.
Yes, it is. The trade deadline for the NFL is, I believe, what, 3 o'clock? So about 3 hours from now. There has been a blockbuster in the National Football League about 15 minutes ago. The Colts are trading 2 first-round picks to the Jets for cornerback Sauce Gardner.
Great move.
Yeah,
great move.
Good move for them.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, sucks for the Titans, but it's a good move for them.
Well, I mean, again, you're giving up two for – who cares? You don't know how those 2 first-rounders are going to be.
Yeah.
But you know how good Sauce Gardner can be. So that's a win-win for the Colts right there.
Yep. So there is that. And as for the Titans, who knows if they're going to make any more moves. They did trade Draymond Jones to the Ravens in exchange for a conditional 5th-round pick in the 2026 draft. So they made a trade without making a pick swap. Proud of them. It's a big step forward.
Wait till they trade T'Vondre Sweat for a 6th-rounder.
And a sandwich?
That'll be like, but you drafted him in the 2nd round. Yeah, but we really didn't. I mean, somebody else did.
Well, and Mike Borgonzi is scheduled to speak tomorrow
at
10 o'clock.
Which is right?
Well, it's post-deadline. I mean, the GM, I know the previous GM didn't do that, but he was probably napping. But, but like, it makes sense after the deadline to do something.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad. Look, I think he wants to talk. I really think Mike Borgonzi wants to talk to the media. And so now they get to let him do it tomorrow, which is good.
So, yeah, 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yeah.
Hey, 1230, Vince Gill's going to join us. How about that, huh? Ain't that something?
The Saints are trading wide receiver Rashid Shaheed to the Seahawks as well.
Okay.
So that just coming down. Yeah, we got a loaded show. Tim Hasselbeck at 1. You mentioned Vince Gill coming up at the bottom of the hour. 2 o'clock, Bob Sargent. We'll talk about the All-American 400 at the fairgrounds coming up this weekend, a historic race that happens every year. And then Nick McDevitt, the fine men's basketball coach at MTSU, will join at 2:30. You got to bounce a little early today, right?
I do, and which is going to lead into our question of the day. So I've got to go speak.
Why does Big Joe have to leave early?
I have to go speak to a class at MTSU today. Our good friend Nick Baranjapay invited me down, so I go speak to him. So my question of the day is what advice should I give this new generation of media professionals?
No.
You've been in those classes, Chase. Dr. Crane, you've been in those classes. Remember, speakers
don't would come, do it.
Speakers would come down, and you're like, "Who is this guy?" You know, and then anybody got a question? Nobody has a question, and then the teacher asks like 2 questions, and you leave. So, I got to give advice to this new group of media professionals who are getting out of MTSU, graduating. What advice should I give them? And you took my advice away. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
Don't do it. Sorry. Get out of it.
There's a guy named Ricky on our text line that isn't our Ricky that just wants to argue with everything we say.
Good.
So,
good. Is water wet?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
See you on YouTube at 2 o'clock.
I, unlike Joe Rexroad, don't lose my you know what over people who comment.
Yeah. No. I just laugh. Although, bet you're glad the Titans don't play the Colts again now that Sauce Gardner is there.
Ooh,
that's
good
Matthew
one.
In Nashville.
Ah, yeah.
Look.
Good one.
They're not going to win another game anyway, so why do I care?
It got you. You like got no comeback
team,
for
this
that.
This team is terrible.
Zero comeback for that one, man. Big time. Dr. Crane, what advice you got for the new generation of media people? You're young.
Don't let dumb texters get to you.
Be curious. Just be curious. Raise your hand and ask questions. Just be curious.
That's what got Chase in trouble in Gallatin Road a few weeks ago.
Shut up.
Is that the whole knighted thing? Is that what happened?
No.
What are you talking about? You know, that's very good advice. Be curious. Yeah.
Yeah. That actually, that is pretty good advice.
Mine really is, do whatever is asked, and don't expect a pat on the back.
Here's my advice. Just because you went to school and got this degree and all the, and went to 4 years of college does not entitle you to anything. You still have to work for it. And I think to Joe's point, you know, going to the business knowing that you're starting at the bottom and you got to work your way up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how good you think you are. You're not that good, and you're going to be humbled and you're going to learn. We all did. I walked out of MTSU thinking like, hey, I'm ready for a 3-hour show or a 4-hour show. I did a 1-hour show and blew all my material in 15 minutes and realized, oh, this is a lot harder than it looks. And I was lucky.
What'd you do the other 45?
That I figured it out. But I was lucky that I had, you know, a boss that was like, all right, big boy, you want it? Go get it. And, you know, kind of threw me into the fire. And I had JoJo and Greg and Darren and Willie and George and others that, you know, were mentors. And, you know, were like, you got to learn on your own. But, you know, we'll give you some advice along the way. But honestly, I've talked about it before. That's a bit of a problem with the current generation is there's a lot of entitlement. And there's a lot of, well, you know, I'm ready. I know what I'm doing. And there's no patience in willingness to learn. And you're going to realize pretty quick that, yeah, there are exceptions to every rule. There are people that, you know, are just they know the right people and naturally just have something that a lot of people have to work for and they move up the ladder quicker. But one of my favorite phrases is the fingers and toes you step on the way up the ladder are connected to the ass you got to kiss on the way back down.
So all that being said, give me one line. You said a lot of things there. I need one line because they ain't listening to all that. They're going to listen to one line. Give me one line.
I ain't hiring them.
What's one thing?
How about that?
I mean, be curious is a great one. Do what's asked and don't expect a pat on the back.
I'll use one that Jeremy used on me. Be a sponge. Learn everything.
There you go. That's good. That's good advice.
Be a sponge. If, you know, I'm passionate about this. That's why you've kind of started something. When I started here, you remember, I was an intern.
Yeah.
And what did I want? I walked in. You were like, what do you want to do? What did I want to do?
Be on the air.
I want to be on the air.
Immediately.
Like, that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
But my path was where Dr. Crane's sitting right now. And I did that for damn near 10 years before I got to do this part. And I am so grateful that I had that because I learned how a show worked. I learned about hosts and egos and everything that goes with it, managing a show. And I would not be, you know, the host I am if I didn't have that. So, I mean, be a sponge, learn how to do everything. That's what, I mean, Nick, do I not preach that to you guys all the time?
Yeah, you do. I mean, because of that, it has now built the foundation of where you start from is now where you're going to be.
Right.
So what do you do when someone promises you a pizza and doesn't bring it to work?
I don't think he promised a pizza. I think you promised him that I think you basically put that in and said he was going
to
do it.
I'm going to clarify something. I'm clearing the air for all of Nashville to hear.
All right, because I'm a little perturbed at this.
I came home last night, okay? I looked in the oven.
It's about time.
Thank you. And I – oh, God. No. All right, continuing. I looked in the oven, and I said – this dough cannot be served to somebody. And then definitely if I served it to you, Joe, you probably would have been hurling because it was rancid. I could not serve that. I could not make a pizza out of it.
Okay.
It was gross.
So, but you had to make an alternative plan to get me some food.
That's called 2 days later.
No.
So
it's called
Thursday.
Like, well, I promised some food tomorrow, but maybe I'll stop and get something on the way.
Look, all I said was sure, I'd make you a pizza. I didn't make any promises. You're the one that
What is sure supposed to mean to me?
You know, it's going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, I'll let it slide today.
You'll back me on this, right, Chase?
Yes.
Thank you.
See, yeah, I'm with him on that.
Good. So
Ricky's calling me a clown now. Cry, cry. People who have different opinions aren't dumb, clown. Two firsts is an overpay. Okay. That's fine. I don't care.
Right. I think it's great. Great trade for them.
You live in Nashville, Tennessee, Ricky. This isn't a cult show. I don't give a crap what they do.
Let me tell you two names. Have you ever heard these two names? Steve Entman and Quentin Coriat. You ever heard those two names?
Nope.
You heard those names, Dr. Crane?
No, sir.
Those were two first-round draft choices by the Indianapolis Colts back in 91 or 92, right in there. Two first-rounders. Terrible. Terrible. Sauce Gardner pretty good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great trade for the Colts.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get.
I think they got better.
Yeah. They got a hell of a lot better.
Good for them. I don't care.
Absolutely. Good trade for them.
Gover has great advice. The greatest advice I ever received was, treat the Thursday night high school volleyball game like it's game 7 of the World Series and you'll be just fine.
Love it.
That's good.
Why do we do high school football?
Because we love it.
We love it.
But like I go in, like Friday night is our last broadcast. We're doing a playoff game. Antioch and Shebaville at Antioch. And I'm treating that like it's a Super Bowl. Prepping for that, like I want it to be awesome, you know, for the people listening and for me and for us, like our crew. Like I want it to be great. So I think that's great advice, but go over
it. It is. Right.
Hair Metal Henry says, Dr. Crane, there's one pizza that you can serve Joe. It's one with rancid dough.
See, people would have cheered for you for that.
Yeah.
That would have been fine to do all that. But that's a question. Let us know. 615-737-1025. What advice would you give if you had to go speak to a class at any college? What advice would you give them?
And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. We'll be back with more. Vince Gill at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game.
The three little sentences that will get you through life. Number one, cover for me. Number two, oh, good idea, boss. Number three, it was like that when I got here.
A woman is a lot like a refrigerator. They're about 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. They make ice and... Oh, wait a minute. Actually, a woman is more like a beer. They smell good. They look good. You'd step over your own mother just to get one.
Advice from Homer Simpson. That's a good thing. Welcome back in to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, friends, next week the Chase and Big Joe Show turns into the Chase and Big Joe Great Road Show. We're headed to Key West, Florida for three fun-filled days, and we're taking you with us. We're broadcasting from the stunning Marker Key West Harbor Resort, just steps from the world-famous Duval Street. To see how beautiful it is and the perfect place to stay in Key West, just go to themarkerkeywest.com. Our coverage brought to you by the Roxy 8 Theater in Dixon, making the movie experience great again. The Nashville Cats, the perfect gift this Christmas. Season tickets for the Nashville Cats as they look to get back to the AF1 Arena crown. Our friends at Reunion Township at 109, comfortable luxury living in Mount Juliet you deserve. And City Limits Apartments in Spring Hill, resort-style living with an upscale lifestyle. That's all next week, 3 days. From down in Key West. And I can't wait. We're taking Dr. Crane with us. And as Chase and I discussed yesterday, we're not really sure Dr. Crane knows what he's in store for.
I really don't think he does.
I'm pretty nervous.
I really don't think he does.
Will you tell Chase the phone call you gave me Friday about a place you wanted to stop on the way back to the Keys?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
You're so great, man.
If we're going to go down to Key West, probably my only time. I think it's called Rob's Fruit Stand or something like that. I'd like to go. They said there's like all these different types of fruits.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited about
it.
Some lady, a family friend of mine, told me you need to go over there and try the smoothie and also try the milkshake. I was like, all right, I'll do it. They have like papaya. They got it all.
Love it. That's you find it and we're stopping.
You and I are excited about, you know, the ocean and the scenery, yeah, and like beachy drinks, and he wants to stop at a fruit stand.
I love it, man.
They got jelly and jam there.
Hey.
I mean,
we'll stop.
We'll stop. Yeah,
we will definitely.
In fact,
stop.
I'll buy you a smoothie.
No, it's on my dime, please.
Oh, is it?
Allow me. Yes.
All right. Anyway, thanks to our sponsor. We have a great time next week and give you ideas to get out of town for November, December, January, and February when it starts turning cold. So we're grateful for our sponsors. Thank you.
Yes, that will be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it, and we'll obviously be having some fun broadcasting from Key West. And it's our third annual trip.
It is.
We have made this a thing. So
we have. And so it's a lot of fun. We've had, when we went down there, there's been some breaking news back in here that we don't want. We want to go down there and not have to worry about.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah. So I'm kind of trying to sift through this. I saw it. Okay, here we go. This is Mike Girardi, who works for the Boston Sports Journal. covering the Patriots. And he does a musings thing. The Patriots remain active, looking to make a deal or two that can address areas of concern, pass rush and running back depth primarily. One league source told me Vrabel and company have also kicked the tires at wide receiver. That would make sense. And he kind of goes on, yada, yada, yada. I was also told there has been some conversation league-wide that Tennessee might be unwilling to make deals with New England because the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, continues to think too much about how things ended with Vrabel and is not inclined to help him and his new team.
Oh, no.
We'll find out soon enough with the likes of edge rusher Arden Key, running back Tony Pollard, and even wide receiver Calvin Ridley available.
Oh, no. She's getting involved again. Well, I mean, how petty is it? We're not going to trade in New England because Mike's up there. I mean, are we really? I believe every bit of this.
I believe every bit of it.
I believe every bit of this. She's doing it again.
Here's the deal.
Holy
Amy, I'm gonna give you a piece of advice. When you move on, move on. You made the decision.
I'm gonna use that today at school.
When you're okay, I'll use the NCIS Gibbs Rule 91. When you're ready to walk away, don't look back.
Oh, I like that. It's also what De Niro said in Heat.
Yeah.
Be able to walk away in 30 seconds and never look back.
Yep. I mean, this is ridiculous. You could get something out of them for Arden Key.
This is so petty. I love it, man.
But you won't trade it because it's Vrabel.
So Vrabel's
still winning. You fired him.
Right.
You said you fired him.
Yeah. It's great, man. He's 7-2.
I'm all about – I'm the petty king sometimes. Like, it just is what it is. Like, sometimes – you want to throw a little pot shot in or whatever, that's fine. But you're going to hurt your football team by not making a trade if they're willing to trade with you because you fired the coach.
Yeah.
And you're pissed off at things that has been said.
Yep.
That's silly.
So why is Arden Key still here? Well, the owner wants him here.
And yeah, that's why. Basically.
What? He doesn't play any. Well, Mike Vrabel. Okay, enough. A talk on that. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I totally believe that's how they operate.
That is ridiculous.
She should be happy he came off the payroll. Be happy. Hell, she's got more people on the payroll now.
Let me read this again. I was also told, this is Mike Girardi, there have been conversations league-wide that Tennessee might be unwilling to make deals with New England because the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, continues to think too much about how things ended with Vrabel and is not inclined to help his new team. I got news for you. The player, I mean, look, Tony Pollard, he's not bad. Ridley sucks and so does Arden Key. How much do you really think you're going to help him?
Right.
If they offer you a third round pick, shut up and take it.
Is he worth the third rounder?
No, I'm just saying. Okay. Like, if they offer you any pick in the top 100 for those guys,
sure,
shut up and take it.
Absolutely.
Who cares?
That. It's her meddling again. She just can't stay out of it. She can't stay out of this.
I'm just like, I'm at the point now where I don't want, I don't like this team. I'm so sick of them. Like, because the damn owner can't stay out of the way. Like, they're never going to win. They're never going to win anything as long as she's the owner because she won't get out of the way. And her dad was the same way. It's unfair. We're paying for, you know, my property taxes, just like all of you went up to pay for the damn stadium, which I was for. I was like, okay, great, because it's going to bring a bunch of cool things to our city. Allegedly.
Right.
But now it's like, nobody's going to be able to afford it to see a winning football team, which never is going to play there unless they're the opponent.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, buddy, for all this.
And then I got the Cowboys that lose to freaking Jacoby Brissett and the Cardinals last night. I hate. And then, oh, don't get me started on the Braves. You basically run off Brian Snitker, and what do? You hire Brian Snitker and Walt Weiss. Like, I just.
What do you got against Walt Weiss?
I don't think he's a good manager.
He got diarrhea at a water park in Atlanta one time.
Of course you would know something
about
that. He did,
and his kid got it too, like some airborne disease. It's Six Flags in Atlanta.
I mean,
So yeah, no
if there's crap, you know crap.
Chipper just gave him the seal of approval today.
I know he did. And I tweeted at Chipper saying, like, sell me on this, and he didn't tweet me back. So,
well, then we're out on Chipper now. All right, we're done with him.
I'm just, yeah.
But you know who makes it all better?
Let's go to Trey. Trey, what's up?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Oh, we're better now.
Hey, guess what?
What's
y'all,
that?
Y'all sound exactly how I feel. Chase, you said some words there. I'm just sick of it. I don't like them. Hey, I feel the same way. They're trash. And like y'all said, until Amy can step out of the way and get out of the way and let them grown men be grown men instead of being a babysitter, then it's going to be the way that it's going to be, and they're going to lose every other game until they come to – they need to have a come-to-Jesus moment, I believe.
Oh, man.
I love you guys, and y'all have a good day, okay?
Thanks, Trey. Thank you, Trey.
You too.
Thanks, buddy. Bye, Trey. Trey's right, man. Stay out of the way. But she can't stay out of the way. I mean, I really believe all that is true because of the pettiness of Amy Adams. I believe it is, and this is terrible. If you're going to keep guys around and not because of Vrabel.
This is like, I go back to, why would you want to work here if you know that you're just going to have an arm tied behind your back the whole time?
That's why.
Hey, I got a really good trade for us. Well, let's check with Amy.
That's why who's been here needs to come back.
Yeah,
here.
But even then, like, I mean, she's clearly getting worse.
Yeah,
because she'll be like, oh, but I don't care if we're gonna get a first if it's for Vrabel, so we're not gonna do it.
You think Borgonzi hates being here?
Oh, probably. I would. Go. Let's go tomorrow to his press conference. And be like, do you wish you hadn't taken this job?
I must say, Mike, the team you put on the field tomorrow, can that team win one game? Just we're asking
like,
one
I hope,
game.
I hope somebody has the you know what to ask him about that report. That there is a report going around in New England and around the league that your owner is basically blocking you making trades with the Patriots. Because of Mike Vrabel. I hope somebody asks that.
He's going to say no.
But how about
asking this way? When you're ready to make a trade, who has to be the final go?
Do you have to go to – well, he's going to say Chad. But then Chad goes to Amy.
Well, what about the support that Amy's doing this? And then he's like, 2 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then his head explodes like in the movie Total Recall. he's just a robot. 2 weeks.
Good Lord. I mean, this team's never going to win anything again because of her. I'm so over it, man.
Well, maybe our next guest could buy the Titans.
He should. He's going to make me feel better because he always does. Vince Gill going to join us next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Oh, yes. One of my favorite songs and one of my favorite people. We say hello now to the great Vince Gill, who is on the line with us. Vinny, how you doing?
Man, I don't know. What have you heard?
I've heard you're doing pretty well, man. I mean, what's your retirement gig is playing with the Eagles, so, I mean, that's not bad.
Took me 60 years to get a good gig.
Well, I think it's worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, you guys all right?
We're good. We're excited to have you on and tell some stories, but I know you got something coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, Vince, you're with the Never Forgotten, Never Alone, the concert for the Wounded Blue at Nashville Palace tomorrow night. This is special to you. It means a lot to you at the Nashville Palace. You got a great cast around you. Why is all this so important when you do these things in Nashville, Vince?
Well, I think, you know, my manager asked me that one time years ago, many, many, many years ago, and he said, why do you do so much? And I said, well, For the real reason is for a long time nobody ever asked, and it just makes sense, you know. It's a kind way to live your life and be willing to chip in and be a good part of the community. And I've always admired what the job the police do, and I've been a supporter, you know, and sung at funerals and fallen off officers and things like that, and I'll tell you one of my favorite stories. This is not because I was well known or anything, but I was driving on Ellington Parkway one day, and I was probably going 100 miles an hour, and I passed a policeman, and he whipped the lights on, and he whipped around, and I said, "I'm dead," you know. So I stopped, pulled over on the shoulder, sitting on the trunk of my car, and he got out of his car and he started walking towards me and walking. He got a little closer and a little closer. And he starts shaking his head. I go, "What?" He goes, "My wife would divorce me if I gave you a ticket."
Oh, yes.
I said, "Dude, you married well."
This is a great event. It's tomorrow night, Nashville Palace. It starts at 7. Doors open at 5:30. A night for the Wounded Blue. Look, Vince, I love you, but the fact that John Conley is on the same ticket with you, it's pretty damn cool.
Right there.
Right?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. The common man.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
John Conley. It'll be a blast. You know, Mark Wills is really the guy behind putting this thing together, and he's become a really close friend after he joined the Opry, and we got to spend some time around each other, which we never had prior to him becoming a member of the Opry. So he's a great kid and great, you know, great supporter of all these things, and I'm crazy about him.
Vince Gill is with us. You know, the thing about you that I love is just your love for music. I mean, country music obviously has been a big part of your life, but anything. So at this point in your career, I mean, why do you continue to love it so much and get to play with the Eagles and then do your own stuff as well?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's never been about what I've accomplished or what I've done as much as it's been just that I've done it, that I've gotten to play. I remember when I joined and started playing with the Eagles, you know, they asked Don Henley, they said, "Why'd you get a country guy to be in your band?" And he smiled and said, "Because he knows how to be in a band." And that was high praise to me. You know, I'm someone that doesn't need the lion's share of the attention or the spotlight. I just like being part of the process. And what I know without fail is if I'd never had any success, left home, traveled, record deals, hits, whatever, I'd still be doing this if I was playing in a Holiday Inn in Oklahoma City 6 nights a week. That's how dear music is to me. It was never about what result I would get from it other than trying to get better at it and loving the work that I do.
You're one of the best guitar players I have ever seen. And as a, you know, somebody that tries to play the guitar, I've, you know, tried to emulate you over the years, but playing with Joe Walsh, how amazingly special is that?
Well, it's you couldn't have dreamed it up in a million years. You know, I remember when he was with James Gang and before he was playing with the Eagles, I was in my room trying to learn how to play Rocky Mountain Way and Funk 49 and Walk Away and all those songs. And, you know, I was up in my room emulating what he did and trying to figure out how to play. And I look over at him sometimes and just have to go, "How the hell did this happen?" You know, and it's the coolest, you know, he's a really sweet dude. You know, I know he had a long life of crazy, a long life of trashing motel rooms and drinking too much and abuses and things like that. But he is the kindest guy, and we're really close. And so, yeah, I'm grateful that I got to, you know, spend some time, you know, traveling and knocking around playing music with one of my heroes. And we actually hit it off and became great friends. That's the best part, is that I've got a great friend out of the deal.
Beautiful. Talking to Vince Gill here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. The event tomorrow night, Never Forgotten, Never Alone, the night for the Wounded Blue at the Nashville Palace. Things open at 7 o'clock. Show at 7, doors open at 5:30. We were out in Vegas a month ago, Vince, and you guys were playing at the Sphere. Have you seen I know you're on the show, but have you seen a show in the Sphere? Because everybody that's been there and seen you says that was the greatest experience of all time. And everybody says it. I'm just curious if you've seen a show in there and understand what they're talking about.
Well, not exactly. I haven't been to see U2 or Kenny or whoever else has played there, the Dead and Company and whatnot. Now recently the Backstreet Boys, and more people are coming. I think Zac Brown's coming out there to do some shows, and it's opening up. I think Gwen Stefani might be one of the ones gearing up to go out there and play some. But what I did do is I went to see The Wizard of Oz. Amy came out with me this weekend to the shows, and we decided to go see The Wizard of Oz, and it's all been blown up and AI generated and even more massive and amazing. And it was the greatest experience. I get it why people are so enamored with this place and the experience, because you try and try and try and try to explain it to people and you can't do it justice. The grandioseness of it all, the size of it all, the scope of it all is so much bigger than you can ever explain to people. It's like half of the arena is the content. You know, it's not just a screen behind the stage. We're the smallest thing that there is up there on the stage, you know, compared to the entirety of the arena. So I tease and tell people, I said, it's fun playing there, but by far the most it's the most people I've ever been ignored by.
Oh, but nice.
You know it's coming, and you don't blame them. You know, you're singing, they're all looking at the ceiling, pointing up, and pointing their cameras up. But, man, it's a one-of-a-kind experience. There's nothing like it in the world. There's 167,000 speakers.
Wow.
In the sphere. And there's no hanging PA system. It's all a surround thing in the walls of the sphere. It's remarkable. And the seats, they vibrate, they do things, and it's incredible, you know, what they've accomplished. There's no other format like it in the world in any other place. So it's a one-of-a-kind experience.
Hey, what's it like? We do a lot of our bump music coming back. We play a lot of your songs, like One More Last Chance. That's what the Cowgirls do. When you hear that song on the radio and you're riding around, do you ever go back to the moment you wrote that song? Because I think that'd be really cool.
Well, sure. You know, you think about what guitar you played on the record. You think about all kinds of stuff. You know, I think on One More Last Chance, the guitar that I might have played the intro on, I might have lost it in the flood.
Ugh.
You know, so that's a thought sometimes. I go, I wish I still had that guitar that played the intro to that song and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, you kind of, it after a while, it gets a little blurry. At 68,
right.
Everything's getting a little blurrier, you know, as the years go by. But I'm just grateful. You know, I listen, and I never get out of the car if one of my songs is playing on the radio. I'll stay until it ends. It's still the greatest feeling in the world. I can remember exactly where I was. I was 17 years old. I was in a band back home in Oklahoma City and had made a record with them, and we all chipped in and made a record. And lo and behold, somebody played it on the radio one day as I was driving down I-40 in Oklahoma City, and I was so excited. It was the greatest feeling in the world, you know, and I still remember where I was. I got on my CB radio at the time. I started yelling. I said, man, they're playing our record on this station, and people, truckers were coming back. Hey, you sound good, kid. Hang in there, you know. And so, yeah, it's always a pretty amazing feeling when you get to hear yourself on the radio.
We're talking to Vince Gill. You know, you look at the evolution of music, and I tell people all the – people ask me, you know, what's your favorite genre? And I immediately go to 90s country because it's now become its own thing. Like 90s country is its own genre. You lived it. You were right in the middle of that. You know, we're about to see Alan Jackson do his last show coming up this summer. You know, George is kind of winding down and stuff. But 90s country – those songs are still as prominent as they ever were. I mean, how much does that mean to you to be a part of that?
Well, the interesting thing is now they have about 30 years of life to them. You know, in the moment, they were just the current thing that was going on. And so now people that are, let's say, 50 years old, 50 or 60 years old, 30, 35 years ago, that's the music that they kind of probably grew up on or cut their teeth on and all that. I, you know, in all honesty, I prefer my generation of my youth. I like the 50s and 60s country music better than I did the 90s, you know, even though I was a part of it. And I just think that with music, when you're in your youth and you're in those infancy stages, the things that you gravitate towards, they stay with you your whole life. You know, they've done studies on people with dementia and Alzheimer's and things that, you know, they may be lost with everything else, but if they put on the music that was familiar to them in their youth, they all perk up, they remember the words, they sing along. And so there's something to that. And I think just the fact that music's 30, 35 years old now is why people get to look back on it historically and look at it fondly like they do. I do too. I'm crazy about it, you know.
Well, and I mean, I think too, Vince, like you listen to some of the newer artists like Luke Combs or Eric Church or Zach Topp. I mean, it kind of feels like it's coming back around to that same kind of style.
Yeah, I think that's always gone on. You know, country music itself has been around for, let's say, 100 years, with the Opry and the first records being made in the mid-20s. So if you look at the entirety of all that music, it's always kind of gone astray and then come back. There's always been a movement back towards a more traditional slant of things, and that's just the way I think we evolve. And, you know, when Roy Acuff came along, he was probably different than who first played on the Opry, and then Hank Williams came, and he was different than Roy Acuff. And then the cosmopolitan sounds of the late 50s were people trying to emulate the big, you know, singers of Frank Sinatra era and things like that. And you had people like Jim Reeves that were crooners and was a little more polished and string laden. And so we've always kind of emulated other forms of music at different times, but we always find our way back. And I think you're seeing that now with kids like Zach Topp and people like that. They were really drawn to that music. It, once again, goes back to their youth. That's why it probably means something to them. And I always say it's sometimes traditional music may not be, it isn't dead. It's just not real popular at times, you know.
Yeah.
And then it makes a comeback. You know, every generation does. They kind of go back to what they loved.
Vince, I have to bring this up too, because you know, Willie Donick is on our afternoon show, and you were amazing at Aaron Donick's celebration of life. His wife. We were all there about a month and a half or 2 months ago, and I know that was hard for you because of how much you worked with her. But we love Aaron and miss Aaron, and obviously have put our arms around Willie. But you did a fantastic job, and I'm just so grateful that you could be there.
You know, it's, you're lucky in life when people come into your life that are great people. You know, and that was one of them. You know, that was a light. That was somebody you were always glad to see. You know. And that's kind of what you hope for in life, is to be one of those kinds of people that you walk into a room and somebody's glad to see you. And she was that.
100%.
Vince, is there one song you wish you would have written that you didn't write?
Oh, hell, I could give you a book full.
Is there one that just at the top of the mind, like, yeah, this song,
God Bless the USA, might be that one?
Oh, no, I would... God, I would, once again, we talked about this a couple times in this little stretch of conversation, but I would go back to something in my youth, you know, like maybe Let It Be would be something that I would choose you know, I got to sing that with Paul last year at a Jimmy Buffett Memorial, and I was on stage with Paul McCartney singing Let It Be, and I told him, I said, you have no idea what this means to me, because that's the song that was playing the first time I ever slow danced with a girl. And he winked and he goes, well, I hope it worked out for you. And I go, well, I was just saying, afraid. No, but thank you.
Oh, that's great. That is so great. Oh,
songs,
man,
like that, Yesterday, you know, just, that are such a huge part of your life. You know, one of my best friends is Rodney Crowell, and my favorite song of his is Till I Gain Control Again. And, I could write you a book about songs that I wish were mine.
You know, what's funny is, like, I think you're like us, is like, you know how lucky you are. And so, like, backstage before you go on concert, the Sphere, I'm sure there's celebrities who come back there and you're like, what am I doing here? You get that feeling a lot?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I tell people, I said, if I'd known it was going to turn out like this, I may have never left. May have freaked me out to know that all these things were going to happen, you know?
I get it. All right, tomorrow night, again, to the Natural Palace. It's Never Forget, Never Alone, A Night for the Wounded Blue. Vince Gill, Mark Wills at the Natural Palace. Doors open at 5:30. It's going to be a great night. Benefits a great cause. Vince, we cannot thank you enough, man. We love you. Thank you for what you do. Your heart is big as the world, man. So thank you for coming on. We so appreciate you. And we will see you tomorrow night at the Natural Palace.
All right, sounds good. Look forward to it. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Vinny. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. Vince Gill joining us here on the program, and always appreciate His time, I mean, it's when we say friend of the show, he is a friend of the show and a friend of everybody. I mean, fantastic. Right? So we'll come back, wrap up hour number one next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Vince Gill, great conversation with him. Glad he could be on with us. We'll definitely do that again here at here in the near future. It is trade deadline day in the National Football League. From what I have seen, the Titans haven't done anything else yet. The big trade has been Sauce Gardner to the Colts for two first-round picks. A lot of people are calling that an overpay, and it might be, but that is the price of doing business these days. And the Colts get a pretty good corner, and the Jets get draft picks.
I like it if you're the Colts. That's a win. As we said earlier, your draft picks aren't guaranteed anything. Who are they going to turn out to be?
Yeah.
You know Sauce Gardner is really, really good. And if he gets motivated and gets on a good football team, that's a really good football team. I know the Steelers beat him last Sunday, but still, they're leading the division. They're going to make the playoffs, and now you added a massive piece to that.
Well, and here's the other thing that could be good for the Titans. Let's say the Titans get the number one pick again, and the Jets have number two and they want to move up. Well, or number three or whatever. The Jets have the ammo to do that now that could benefit the Titans.
True.
I mean, that's something. I mean, the Titans could end up with one of those first-round picks from the Colts in a move with the Jets to, you know, move back in the draft.
Amen.
That's just something to kind of think about, looking at things on down the line. So we'll discuss that much more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.